The MTAC, the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut, President Joe Scully released a statement yesterday seeking to preemptively address some false or misleading claims that may be made at the January 12th toll forum. That's the forum we were just referencing before the break that's taking place this upcoming Sunday at 4 o'clock in the town of Westport, as these claims have been repeated frequently. So I figured, you know what? Let's just bring the president of the Motor Transport Association of Connecticut right on, and let's address this head on, as they say.
He is something.
Oh, we love having him. You know what? Give it to you straight.
He's a take-the-hill guy.
Brad, you're cracking me up. Let's bring him on. His name is Joe Scully. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great to be back.
Oh, welcome back. We need you. We love you, man. We love you. We appreciate your time this morning as well. Okay, so let's talk about the statement that you made yesterday regarding some of the misleading claims that you are forecasting to be made this upcoming Sunday at the toll forum in Westport.
Sure. Well, unfortunately, I've heard them said so many times over the past year that I couldn't help but to think they're probably going to come up again, which is what motivated me to do it.
Yeah.
Now, whether they were purposely or accidentally said, to me that doesn't matter, because either you don't know what you're talking about or you're misleading the public, and neither one of those things is good. And the issues that I talked about were claims that out-of-state trucks come through Connecticut tax-free, which is false, or you could hear that, don't worry about diverting money. The toll revenue has to be spent on the road or bridge that is tolled, and that is not true.
No, it's not.
You might hear something about one truck does the same damage as 9,600 cars, and we think that's a bogus statistic that used some funny math to manipulate to get to that number. And the other thing is just making it seem like they're like trucks are hogging the road when really they're only 5% of the miles traveled in Connecticut. So I'm just trying to get the word out there in case it comes up, people can take note of it, maybe respond to it, maybe ask a question and hold these people accountable.
All right, Joe, let's review these individually. All right, so the first one that you said was that there's a misconception that out-of-state trucks are not tolled. All right, so that as a statement is fine, but I need you to support that and elaborate, if you will.
Yeah, so many people think, and I get it, because there's a system that applies to trucks and not cars. But when an out-of-state truck comes through Connecticut, mm-hmm. travels through the state, regardless of what state the license plate is from, regardless of what state the vehicle is domiciled in, or where they buy their diesel fuel, if they come through Connecticut, they're paying. They're paying based on the miles that they travel and the diesel that they use while in Connecticut. And if you combine those two systems together, for every out-of-state truck that comes through Connecticut, the state gets about $30 million per year in tax and fee revenue. So that's a big number. That's not to say that they come through for free, just not true.
Okay. All right. So the second point that you brought up was that diverting money that, you know, from the revenue generated from tolls, that that it would not necessarily just be dedicated to the bridges and highways. In fact, I remember the original plan where if you were going under a tolling gantry in Southington on I-84, and I'm just using Southington hypothetically here, on I-84, any money generated from that gantry would specifically go towards not just highways in Connecticut, but specifically that particular portion of the highway. Well, that was a plan that when originally Dan Malloy had and Jim Redeker, the commissioner of transportation, presented to the House Republican caucus just a couple of years ago when I was up there. Now it's a different governor, it's a different plan altogether. In fact, the language of this plan as I'm speaking to you right now isn't even drafted. Therefore, you know, obviously there's no legislator that has read it because it hasn't been drafted as of yet. But you bring up a really interesting point, and I've been saying this all along. There's TIFIA grants, there's different laws and different rules and regulations when it comes to each different type of federal grant. And this particular one, money can be diverted from transportation infrastructure and be put into rail. So let's, if you can, talk a little bit about the misconception of diverting this this revenue.
Yeah, you're right. It can be spent on rail, including train cars, train stations, also buses, bus stations, and bike paths. And that's what they want to do. They might not admit that, but I believe they've signaled their intent to do that because they've proposed to put tolls on a couple of projects that are already funded and under construction. So my point is you don't need tolls to fund those projects. It's just a good spot to put a toll to collect some money and send it elsewhere. Now, Pennsylvania and New York do this, and they are having disastrous results. Taking money from the highway and spending it on mass transit is what has led the Pennsylvania Turnpike to increase tolls for 13 straight years already, and they've already pledged to do so until 2044. We see this policy in other states. We know that it's not working, and it's leading businesses to flee the state, according to the Democratic governor of Pennsylvania. Why would we want to copy something that we know just doesn't work? We've got to stop. Otherwise, we're going to dig ourselves into a deeper financial mess than we're already in.
I agree, but and that's a great point, Joe. Let's take it one step further. Our neighbor to the east, Rhode Island, we already are well aware of the litigation between the trucking industry and the state of Rhode Island, and we just heard recently, and I say recently, I'm thinking maybe a month, maybe two, that's going to proceed. That's not, there was no deal made. That's going to go to court sooner rather than later. I also heard recently, though, and you would be the right person to ask this question to, Rhode Island is not the only state that has a lawsuit against it from the trucking industry when it comes to tolls. I heard Virginia falls into that category as well. Is there any truth to that, Joe?
There might be. I think where the difference comes in is as far as so the lawsuit in Rhode Island is from our affiliate, actually, the American Trucking Association, as well as some trucking companies. I believe that the lawsuits in Virginia, Indiana was named as another one, is from a different national trucking association.
Oh, okay.
So they may be under similar ideas, the lawsuits, but as far as I know, our federation, the American Trucking Association, and affiliates like us are not involved in those.
Okay. Maybe we could have our producer Google that and find out
While we're on Rhode Island, though, there's kind of one underreported thing I wanted to just throw out there.
Please, please.
So you're right. The case is allowed to proceed in federal court, which the state over there is appealing. They're trying, again, to get it out of federal court. But the ruling was, it wasn't one judge. It was a three-judge panel that ruled 3-0 in favor of the industry and against the state, allowing it to proceed. So that's, to me, that sends a clear message.
It does.
Now,
yeah.
they want to appeal, but their appeal is going to be heard by pretty much the same judges that just ruled that. So for anybody talking about, well, don't worry, Rhode Island's confident they're going to win the case, I don't think that they are. Why are they trying so hard to get it out of federal court? Just go win the case.
Yeah, that's a great point. You're absolutely right. But we all know that this trucks-only toll pending legislation is really a facade to get all motor vehicles to be tolled.
I agree. Look, we've seen, I think it's 4 different plans or sub-plans this year to toll cars. So I don't think you can just switch and say, no, we don't want to toll cars. Well, we already know that you do. And even this week, right, legislative leaders who are pushing this said, literally in the same press conference, don't worry, we're not going to toll cars. However, a lot of my members are upset that we're not going to toll cars. Well, that's not very reassuring, you know. And then a similar comment was made on the Senate side. There was one senator who said, I will never put my name on something that restricts us from tolling cars. So it just seems like, all due respect, I don't think anybody believed them anyway.
Yeah.
And they're just adding fuel to that fire this week with comments like that.
And we're running out of time. So in about a minute or less, Joe, if you can, what... now that you're here, we've all heard there's going to be a special session. I don't think it's next week. I think it's the following week. Although not that it couldn't be next week, it certainly can be, but I truly believe it'll be the following week because, again, like I said a moment ago, the language hasn't even been drafted yet. What is the MTAC doing, knowing that this is actually going to be occurring now? It's one thing when they've been kicking the can down the road. It's going to happen in October. The special session is going to be in November. Then it's going to be December and all summer. Then you want to go back even further. All summer long, there's been talk, and we got this no-toll CT movement going on, and their presence is everywhere. And but now that it's right in front of you, what is your plan?
Well, we are continuing to spread our message by doing things like coming on and talking to you guys and the listeners. I'm going to go down to the toll forum on January 12th and just talk to anybody who will talk to me, stand there, try to spread our message. There's commitments sort of about a public hearing prior to it, so we would definitely participate in that. But I would also just say this. Look, I'm hearing some of the same things you just mentioned. They're going to do it in a week or two or whatever. I don't know if it happens. It might not happen. You know, this could just be more of what has been going on over the last year. Yes, we've got it. We're going to do it. We got to figure it out. And maybe it just doesn't happen.
I love your optimism. And that's a great way to be. But we also have to face a little reality as well. And listen, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, brother. I'm with you, man. I'm hoping you're right. But there's a part of me, because I know how things are up there. You know, there's a part of me that is like, they're not going to bring this out unless they have the votes. They don't just take it out to get voted down, because once it gets voted down, it's done for the year. And keep in mind, they don't need to have a public hearing when it's a special session, which is why they're trying to rush it before the beginning of the short session, the regular 2020 legislative session beginning the first Wednesday of February. So, and I heard, boy, and I really got to get going here, but I heard, Joe, really quick, that when you go on Sunday to that forum in Westport, that there, it's not a public, it's not an open forum, it's not a public forum where people can go and pose a Q&A, that it's just basically a bunch of talking heads rather than a public hearing.
I'm sure that it will be tightly scripted and comments will be restricted. That's okay. I know that going in. I just want to be there and be seen. And I would encourage opponents to go, even if you know you may not get a chance to speak directly. Just go and be seen. I think it'd be a good thing to do.
I just wish it wasn't in Westport. You know, it's just crazy.
I think it's an appropriate setting. It's a very wealthy town. No disrespect to the people that live there, but this is a plan that is going to tax the middle class and use the money to benefit high income earners. I thought that conflicted with the views of the people that are pushing this.
Well, but Westport is not setting. Westport is not really middle class. That's higher class.
It is.
And that's why I said that it's just too bad. And not only is it not just for the distance, but also because it's really not a community that's a fair representation of middle class.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's I believe it's home to the world's largest hedge funds that the state has given taxpayer money to.
That's right.
It's a poor look, I think.